चाइना स्टॉक मार्केट रिटर्न फॉर द लास्ट 15 ईयर्स इज 0%, मैं देख के दंग रह गया यार. What the government has done is effectively capped the profit that you can make. Because governments are much more powerful. Indian companies have high ROE, which is why the stock market is a little, like, always overvalued. China ROEs are very low. The capital you put in is not giving you enough return on equity. Most money still throngs to the US because they like the fact that capitalism trumps everything else.
I sometimes feel in this whole venture-backed world of growth. No, I think sometimes building out things of real value, I'm not sure growth is as important as it is. Yeah, if we don't have a moral compass, who are we really then? And we are slaves to growth and business.
I think post money people look for respect, and post respect people look for relevance. The problem with most people who are very rich, after they get respect also with by building these large institutions, it's continuing to be relevant to the world. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 60 of the Asymmetric Podcast. We have the OGs, including our executive producer Ashish, who's going to join us for this last episode of 2025 as a calendar year, and maybe the last episode for some time to come. Light episode, we are discussing a few things that we thought could be great year-end reflections, but I'm sure a lot of you would have questions as to why take a pause. Broadly, it's just been an intense 1 year, and part of our yearly reflections were looking at calendars and where we spend time, and all of us realizing that this exercise is taking a lot more time from us than what we had imagined. We will reflect more and then figure out a way to make this alive again. But please drop in your comments on ideas as to how we could continue to do this without it taking a lot more of our time as it usually does. Do enjoy the episode and hope to see you soon. Cheers. Arre Ashish, camera on karna. Ashish ko good news diya ki nahi tune Shantanu?
Maine yaar good news kaise yaar?
IPO?
Nahi yaar.
So I met someone today who had come to office, one of my founders, who I'd back through K-Start, and he's like, yaar, kya maza aata hai har hafte sunne. I'm like, bhai, it's like too intense. Ye. It's like, aap record nahi karke karte ho. I said, haan, record karte hai, but do din pehle karte hai. He's like, achha, ye toh live ho gaya phir. Mala, haan, aur kaise karenge? Usse raha nahi, mujhe laga, aap 8-10 videos record karte ho, phir agle 8 hafte aap release karte ho. Isn't that everybody, how everybody else does it? I said, yeah, but those are like prepared. Podcast scripted setup and stuff like that. Here is just we get on a Zoom call and talk, right? So it's super
intense. Recent. I'm surprised you did not realize how recent it was. Like on Friday, we're talking about stuff that happened on Monday.
I don't think people equate that so.
I don't know whether how to frame this. So I'm bad at these conversations in general. Are we aap hi bolo mere upar dal diya aapne.
So yes, we are taking a pause. So main to thumbnail tel le pehle already solved hai is bar ka. Goodbye for now, chote mein. So I don't know how long. But yeah, it's just been like me and Chirag were reflecting, right? Like it's like the last 6-7 weeks, so it's been like a mad dash, right? Like we're like changing calendars and changing meeting schedules just to sort of make this ki yaar ye nahi ye der ghanta chutna nahi hai karke types. And we were just reflecting ki yaar, are we following the same thing that we keep saying, right? Ki algorithm ko chahiye har hafte, to see what do we love? We love to just jam and talk, which we always used to anyway. And we just said we'll make it public. But then we said, yaar achha, agar isko you know, regularly karna hai, toh periodic karte hai. Periodic matlab YouTube wants same time, same part of the week. But it's almost like, while we still enjoy doing this, it's almost like, shouldn't feel like work. Na ki yaar har Friday live jana hi hai 7 baje, toh how do you make it work? But the last 6-7 weeks, toh it's been like that. We are just struggling to make that common slot work. And unfortunately, like we are not billionaires like the all-in guys, right? Ki bhai, kuch kaam hi nahi hai. Okay. Matlab, while they run companies and funds, matlab, they can always do that.
Ye, aise ghuma ke le li unki. Thankfully, I am not the one.
No, because a lot of people keep equating us to the all-in. I, it's a very wrong precedent because I mean, they don't have like 17 meetings on the calendar in the day ki bhai ye time nikalna hi nikalna hai karte types. They figure out a way to maybe keep their calendar empty. So
yeah,
I know Shantanu's getting there soon, but at least we are too very far. So.
How was Dubai, guys?
But up here, temperature, climate to bahut hi badhiya tha yaar.
I'm sorry to miss out on that, yeah.
How was your tumne to wahan ja ke reel bana di ki Colgate was so nice. उन्होंने मुझे एक विला दिया और एक
हम वही बैठ के देख रहे थे वहाँ.
हाँ, हम दुबई में बैठ के तेरा बाली का विला देख रहे थे.
बाली में को सामुई था. क्या जगह थी यार. मेरे को वही लगा कि when I went there ना, मेरे को वही लगा दो चीजें. सी, मिस्टर विलियम कोलगेट इज नॉट अलाइव एनीमोर. द फाउंडर इज डेड फॉर 150 इयर्स. द फैमिली आल्सो हैज एग्जिटेड द बिजनेस फॉर मोर देन 80 इयर्स. इट्स ऑल अ बंच ऑफ प्रोफेशनल्स मैनेजिंग एंड होल्डिंग दैट ब्रांड क्लोज लाइक देयर लाइफ डिपेंड्स ऑन इट. आई फाइंड दैट वेरी इंप्रेसिव. Unlike McKinsey, for example, where you're a partner at McKinsey, means honestly, you take a share of the profits and you're an owner, so you can feel like you're a custodian of McKinsey. But why would someone at Colgate do it when the founder is long gone? Kya institution hai na? Ki psychic cheez ki aadmi socha, especially senior level pe, aadmi socha, boss, is institution ko protect karke rakhna hai. This is, you have built this over a period of time and this and that. I found that very interesting.
Or let's say Colgate is like a very good tier one entry job from a B school. People look up to that. Ki yahan chale jayenge, we'll get to learn a lot of brand building, although they might land up in some other function only to begin with.
Yeah.
But I think is that the power of, let's say, brand? Because most people, at least when they begin their career, won't know the profits, etc., etc. What do they make? But I think it's a household brand. Everyone uses it. You can actually, it's a matter of pride to, tell everyone that I'm at Colgate or a similar type of a company.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is amazing. Again, the curse of success, it's amazing to see how successful they are. Like the most penetrated brand, 4 billion daily active users. And frankly, oral care, whether any geography, any price point, any oral hygiene and taste, differences are massive from country to country and nationality to nationality and so on. But they've been able to do it well. They've been able to do it very well. But when you talk to like country CEOs there, no, they're like, boss, to get Colgate to agree to doing something is so difficult, because if I want to start a new brand, if I want to launch a new product, if I want to start anything, it means I have to take that investment away from my core. And every CFO in Colgate is wired, boss, if you have to take something away from the core, it has to be a really, really, really powerful thing. Like, what a beautiful place to be, where you have this core, which is like your golden goose. And then
I think they've wired the company for that, making that category or having that insight that it can be such a large category across geographies, across cultures, across, whatever is your, shade of enamel. But has it hurt them? Has it hurt them over the last 50 years in terms of, let's say, sticking to the core, but then their market has evolved and they're losing? They were the only predominant, like more than 60% market share everywhere.
Huh?
I think in China today, also it was.
In China, they're struggling. I think Ashwarya, they're 80-90% in Latin America. They used to be 80% in India. Now they're at, I think, 45%. Sensodyne is doing really well. Dabur has done well. Patanjali has done well. Right? That it's okay. I mean, like, market share erosion is fine. I think what ends up happening now is that, when you're publicly listed and on the street, people want to know what's the next big thing, where is growth coming from. And frankly, if you look at Colgate, more people are not brushing their teeth. People aren't using more toothpaste per brush. People aren't premium. You're not going to go and buy a 500 rupee toothpaste tomorrow, right? And you're not selling, you're unable to, because you're so successful, you're unable to create categories outside of oral care. So your levers of growth all four levers of growth are not there, right? So you have to work really hard. So I think when Prabha had come in, switch at premiumization, skincare, we'll have to do a lot of this stuff. I think it's a journey. It's a journey for them. She's come from HUL. So clearly there is that Mukul, Prabha, all of them are all HUL folks, right? So
still a 64 billion company. Globally.
In valuation, yeah.
It's pretty big. Our global is about 110, 120 billion, I think.
Yeah, man. In revenue. You need to look bigger in valuation. I think Colgate is probably 25 billion in revenue. Of which, interestingly, 5 billion is pet foods. Huh? They have a brand called Hills. 4-5 billion comes from pet foods.
Maybe they have diversified. India chodke, they have already diversified globally in other places. India
not, diversification. A, lot. So not a lot, actually. Not a lot.
Hills is, I think oral care is still 70-80% of their business.
I would give it to a lot of credit to the guy who actually got the Hills deal through. Otherwise, they have been very, very cautious about doing anything. Because yeah. I'm sure other pets, hoga to, they would have seen these kind of opportunities in other countries also.
Yeah.
But nothing has happened as such. Because usually, typically, that's what companies would do once they start generating this kind of cash. Usually, you would have a ventures arm who would go out and keep buying some of these companies.
They're a very dividend-friendly company also. No? They love giving back. Like, they're very interesting. Huh? Like, for example, Colgate Pakistan is basically a 70-30 partnership with like the largest detergent manufacturer of Pakistan. And that partnership is going on for years. So these guys basically take out 30% of the profits and give it back as dividend to Colgate New York. And then they distribute it on the balance sheet in some shape. They have a 50-year-old partnership with the largest oral care maker in China called Darlie. Olly and Hazel karke. Largest brand there. They compete with Colgate. So these guys own 50%. Udhar ka aadha profit comes back. So aap socho $2.5 billion. $2.5 billion ka company hai. $500 million ka profit hai. $250 million goes back as profit to Colgate New York. And then wow. they can kind of distribute to shareholders. Very, they're insanely intelligent at this stuff, at answering the street. Their CEOs, the CFO is the most powerful guy after the CEO in the company. It's not marketing, it's not supply chain, it's not R&D.
Maybe that's why you have your answer now, na? That's, we samajh gaya na? Ab kyun, why are there no acquisitions and market expansion and ye versus, aur paise kaise nikalenge aur dividend kaise denge? Interesting, everybody has their own cultural choice.
See, वो custodian mindset है उनमें. They're custodians. They're all custodians. It's a very beautiful mindset, by the way. They're custodian of capital, custodian of brand, custodian of people. So it's a very, by compare it to HUL or Reckitt or some of the other guys, they are very aggressive. They are, you know, they will module Colgate is like, wow, सबको लेके चलेंगे, सबको साथ लेके चलेंगे, सबको, you know, it's a very people friendly. It's a very custodian mindset. It's to be learned. Like it's amazing how companies over decades and centuries and, you know, different stewards of the ship first.
I was telling somebody, I don't know, very recently, ki Shantanu sees the words you use, right? It's a very generous, like you by design use very generous words for everything. Like, for example, what was coming to my mind is wealth conservation is a thought process and wealth creation is a thought process. Right? It's almost like this company operates on the wealth conservation thought process versus the wealth creation. When you say aggressive, in the end, there is a wealth. See, markets by design, I was saying Unilever is about 140 billion.
In market cap.
Yeah, markets also by design want wealth creation. Because why is a public market investor investing in you? Ki bhai, bas tu kitna wealth create karega? Mere liye bhi, main invest karunga ta karke, right? In your stock. How much will the stock go up? Do I see the wealth creation mindset? And if you see the, I don't know if you guys saw, Meesho is up 2x from the IPO price. It's crazy. It's 12 billion ka company ho gaya. And somebody was asking me, ki, yaar, ye kuch bhi chal raha hai. I'm like, yaar, markets are very clear. There is actually a chart. Maybe you can put it up, Ashish, later. The last 5-year CAGR of all our Nifty 50 stocks is between -10% to +6%. Like, aapko 12% return chahiye, toh ab wo large cap mein available hi nahi hai. Like, most of them are struggling to, you know, expand TAM or create wealth for, I mean, of course, they have done a fabulous job of creating wealth over the last 20, 30 years. But if you want to continue with that mindset, then you need to start taking risks. And over time, risk aversion and wealth conservation mindset itna seep in ho jata hai, ki it's very hard for the wealth creation mindset folks to stay in the org. Most of the people then leave that org and either start out on their own or join other orgs where they believe that's with this wealth creation mindset can exist.
On one side, it's Colgate. On other side, you have Reckitt, which is also today mostly professional. But they take risks like at a very different level only. Like their decision making is quick. Today, let's say, look at Marico. I know it's only the second generation which is into it, mostly run by professionals now. But they are doing all these acquisitions. I'm sure you would have read Cosmix also, which we should discuss.
Yeah, Cosmix about.
They've done bunch of, you know, Plix, Beardo, many such to, you know, continue to be on that growth and not miss the digital, you know, creation of brands. So, where is this farak? Which happened? How old is Reckitt, Shantanu?
Founded 1814.
No.
It was J&J Coleman, then Benckiser, then Reckitt & Sons, then merger of Reckitt & Sons and J&J Coleman. Wow. Then 26 years ago, merger of Reckitt, Coleman and Benckiser is 99. So the current, what you see today, which is Reckitt, is a 26-year-old organization, but founded in 1814.
Wow. And do you agree, Shantanu? I think you have seen them much closer. That their risk-taking capability in terms of these decision-makings, opening new categories, creation of new brands, etc. is much faster.
See, I think this risk taking is one axis of it. I think there also every organization is a function of the incentives you create inside the system. Their incentives are clearly around revenue growth, profitability growth, and working capital management. Jo abhi bhi apne ko bola tha in one of the asymmetric episodes, right? So if you have those kind of incentives for the whole org, you're going to have people go after growth and do new stuff. That's what you reward. That's what people will do in the organization.
What would that be for a Colgate? Is it only dividend payout?
No, it's not dividend. At a Wall Street level, see, I think yield on the share is a big part for Colgate. I think paying out yield on the share is a big part. I think, again, it's custodian stuff, right? So how well you have, what kind of, how have you fed the equity of the brand is a big part of, boss, the way these guys look at market share is insane. By the way, it's not like Colgate is not aggressive, huh? It's not like Colgate is not aggressive. So someone was telling me that every 12th, like till a few years back, every 12th of the month, Nielsen ka report aata tha on market share. And that report would hit the CMO of Colgate's desk. And boss, if the market share goes down by 0.1, 0.2%, there is ruckus in the organization.
But isme I see a flaw. Na. Abhi tune bola ki CEO ke baad CFO sabse powerful hai. To Nielsen ka data CMO ke paas aayega, CFO bolega nahi nahi paisa, to fir kaise karenge fir?
Nahi nahi. I think CFO and CMO will align when it comes to, like, if the core is getting
core, see, core CFO pe disruption nahi hona chahiye.
Core is your golden goose, na? CFO ko bhi pata hai. Ye golden goose hai mera.
Yani second goose nahi banaya inhone, basically. Second growth vector nahi banaya. Ye vector ko sambhalte raho, sambhal ke rakho, sambhal ke rakho.
Wahi hai na,
still, I think conservation mindset only broadly in my view.
Ab ek baat batao. Ek baat batao mere ko. Let's say you have a house which is 10 crores. You live in Bombay, so let's make the numbers big. Okay. So house is 10 crores. 2% yield on that is 2% yield on that is 25 lakhs, right? 20 lakhs. So you're getting 1.5 lakhs a month on that house, and the house is appreciating by whatever 8% year on year. Right? So आपका घर 5 साल में 10-15 crore हो जाएगा. आपको महीने साल का कुछ 20 lakh मिलता है. As opposed to that house is 10 crores. They're able to create a yield of 1.5 crores. 10, but the house does not appreciate at all. The house is so good. You have put all sorts of really amazing infra inside the house. The air conditioners are great. The kitchen equipment is great. The floors are great. Everything is world class. And you're able to command 10 lakhs per month of rent. As an owner of these two apartments, I'm not sure many people would prefer the first over the second. And I think that's the idea, right? If it's, I don't, I sometimes feel in this whole venture back, world of growth. No, I think sometimes, I think while it might work for shareholders, I think in the either when it comes to longevity or when it comes to even just pure building out things of real value, I'm not sure growth is as important as we think it is.
I don't disagree. Growth is a metric that people use as a proxy. In fact, and what you're saying is, there are other proxies as well, and companies can choose which vector to prioritize as a better proxy for value, right? Market share, market cap, growth are all different vectors. You're just saying that this organization has chosen to prioritize on another vector. And I actually love the example. I think anybody who listens to this will say, I would want to live in the second house. Mm. And I would also want to own that second house and keep it that way. Because also, it's a matter of pride in some way, right? Ki yaar, log ek premium de rahe hain is ghar mein rehne ke liye karke, right? Achha lagta hai. In the end, it's also what makes you feel good. So I think the problem is people become defensive or they feel bad when you say wealth. Yeah, the wealth conserve wahi karta na, jiske paas bahut wealth hai. Actually, in the end, it's just maybe. I mean, I don't envy them, but I think broadly there is clarity ki bhai isko ab wealth creation, like some family that is worth 10,000 crores that has family office and is saying that 90% is in bonds, risk-free AAA bonds at 9% is in a wealth conservation. Kya dikkat yaar, enjoy kar rahe hain. Ab wo 2 takka dal rahe hain agar yahan wahan risk mein, to theek hai, baki to wealth conservation mein koi bhi dikkat nahi hai na, bana liye na paise. Now enjoy that money. I'm just saying it's just a state. Nobody's judging that state or it's just fact. I mean, unfortunately, this is the reality of Revanth, which is everybody feels because I'm expressive. People feel that there is a agenda to it. No, it's just fact that there is wealth conservation and there is wealth creation.
I agree. I also feel, but it is a privilege to create a crown jewel of a brand which has got 4 billion penetration.
I don't disagree at all. I agree.
I think it's a, like, for me, when I go there, I'm like, yeah, like, 4 billion का पेनिट्रेशन क्रिएट करना है लाइक क्या, मेरे को 200 साल भी दे दो ना, आई वुडंट नो हाउ एंड वेयर टू स्टार्ट, यू नो, लाइक इट्स क्रेजी. It's, if you think about it, it's, and a lot of this might be luck and, you know, kind of countries and licenses and regulation and a lot of stuff which kind of plays out, but that's a great legacy to have.
Yeah.
It's a great legacy to have. How was Dubai for you guys? What are the big 2-3 takeaways?
Different takeaways, I think.
Siraj
had a different takeaway than me.
Yeah, went and then you guys spent 2-3 days on your own, is it?
Before. Was first 2-3 days, maybe, of course, missed you. And then, as always, as a year-end ritual, Revan wants to know what should I change next year. So we gave him a lot of targets, including getting all of us rich. That's the goal.
Revan, there's 65, 66, kuch to.
I was always 67, 68. The fact that I've come down to 65 is a big thing. But I have to bring it below 60 now. Like, that's the 2026 goal for me.
तो वो रात वही तो मजाक चल रहा था वहां पे, रात को भी रेवन किसी ना किसी को नींद में भी काम दे देता है.
आरएचआर में आर चाहिए ना, पहला वाला आर एचआर ही मजा हो रहा है आरबी का. रेवन में आरएचआर इज नॉट रेस्टिंग आर्ट रेट, इट इज रेवन आर्ट रेट, बिकॉज़ रेवन डज नॉट रेस्ट.
एंड ब्रो इज किलिंग इट देयर व्हाइल वी आर स्लीपिंग, ही इज डूइंग 15 किलोमीटर मैराथन देयर इन दुबई.
अबे यार कैसे हो यार आरबी, कैसे हो यार
भाई, फटी हुई है. पहला फर्स्ट एवर 21 आई हैड टू रन इन लाइक 1 मंथ एंड आई हैड नॉट रन मोर देन 12 टिल डेट, सो द वेदर वाज गुड एंड लकीली दे वर ऑल वेकिंग अप लेट, सो इट वाज सच ब्यूटीफुल वेदर. आई फाउंड कंपनी, टू बी ऑनेस्ट, आई डिडंट थिंक आई वुड बी एबल टू रन फॉर 2 hours, बट आई गॉट आउट ऑफ द होटल एंड आई मेट दीपांजन, हु इज अ सीनियर एचआर प्रोफेशनल विद पीक. He had just run 100 kilometers in one race like 2 weeks back. So he was just on a stroll jog as a morning jog. And I said, can we do it together? He said, chal. And because he had run 100, I knew that wo to aaram se kar lenge. I said, aap theek ho na. So then, like, I'm okay. Like, he had thought he'll run half an hour. He ended up running 2. But for him, it was like still a stroll in the park, right? Whereas I was like, ki chalo koi company mil gayi karke. And what I realized is if I have interesting company to talk to, then I don't focus on the pain and the breath and everything. It's just tum baate karte raho to nikal jata hai time.
Baate karte nahi, doesn't your breathing go for a toss for talking while running? Like, I find it very painful.
It does. That's when that you would say ki you're panting now. Abhi tu main baat karta hu tu sun le. Okay. So then.
Haan, to kya kya insights the other than giving RB targets on resting heart rate and so on?
At least I think CT's takeaway was different. Growth solves for everything. That was his takeaway. I still think there is a lot of nuance to that. Because if you talk to people who have made it now, they will in hindsight tell you that growth solves everything, which it does broadly. But I think there is always a winner's bias hota na, ki jo jung jeette hai, wo story wahi likhte hai karke. And if you reflect back, tumhe lagta hai ki yaar growth ne sab kuch solve kar diya karke. But I think there is more nuance to that. I don't think people remember the painful thing. It's like, you know, I keep telling my family this, that if you reflect back 10 years back now, you'll only remember the good memories. You forget all the bad memories. So
Yeah. Human mind is like that, no? Human mind all, like blanks out.
Mujhe lagta hai if you talk to people who have made $1 billion, $2 billion, $5 billion business, wo to yahi bolega yaar growth kar le sab solve ho jayega. But I don't know if it can be taken at just face value and just say ki yaar ye kar loge.
No, I think for at least what we were debating is that, let's say if any of us has a chance of a very high growth versus, let's say, if you were to optimize some amount of costs, if there is a trade-off, then I think the answer was coming out to be, kya pehle growth kar lo.
Yeah.
And let's say you'll have enough time because CACs in every world continue to go up. Let's say any 100 crore in any business, what you get today or in next 1 year will be difficult in the second year.
Yeah.
So that was being discussed, and then everyone, right from Ankush, who had done a different business and has reached a different scale, everyone's answer was similar, that market seems to be growing and one should optimize more for growth. While also, of course, there has to be guardrails in terms of margins, in terms of EBITDA. But as long as you are range bound in there, optimize for growth if you can feel that there can be more growth. I think we had a healthy discussion around that. While every company, every at least venture company which has scaled has to think about IPO at some point of time.
Yeah.
It looked like that that's a moment of celebration for founders, VCs, ecosystem. But should everyone, you know, depending on the stage of the company, size of the company, should everyone be thinking ki yaar 2 saal mein IPO kar lete hain, 3 saal mein IPO kar lete hain? Or should people be thinking longer ki nahi? And it, I think, is a business specific answer that some business I think are good staying private for as long as possible and then thinking about IPO, whereas, you know, at least for me it was very clear that if you're a consumer product, I think there is a large benefit which you get by going IPO. The acceptability of the brand, overall brand salience increases, right? For a player like, you know, a B2B player, it doesn't, at least that benefit is not there.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of, like, again, like Revan was saying the right thing. Context is so, like, if I talk to the Advent guys, then I must stay private. Just stay private. Going public is just so much pain. Find buyers for people who want to exit. Let the company create. Those put effort there. Taking the company public is just, like, so painful and this and that.
How much of these advice, Shantanu, do you think is business? Like, for example, if a mutual fund CIO tells me stay private, then I know his incentive is, nothing is an incentive to tell me that. His incentive is to tell me go public so that he's able to buy that stock in public. But when a PE tells me stay private, I'm always wondering ki how much of it is his incentive versus the real.
I'll tell you what the issue is. It's not that. I think people tell you by projecting their life goals onto you.
Yes.
So for example, for PE, PEs are typically very money-minded. Like they're about wealth, right? And wealth creation for self and so on and, you know, all that. So for a lot of them, I think staying private is a great way for promoters to create a lot more wealth as opposed to making it vulnerable to the public to decide the price on the off chance that some quarters go bad and, you know, you become vulnerable. Your wealth becomes vulnerable. Everything you've created becomes vulnerable to public sentiment and let's say a Maggie type moment happens to your brand. Like someone uses a trimmer and dies, for example, because of electric shock. Your entire business can, if you're private, that doesn't happen. Like if you're private, there is a chance that, so I think it comes more from that. Again, you're right. I believe people will be well-intentioned and will give you the best advice, but it comes from their worldview of what they think is best for you from their standpoint.
Two things. One is that. The other is, I think people also flow with trends. Like with all the IPOs happening right now and all the crazy amount of wealth being generated by founders, employees, as well as their private shareholders. And the, by the way, public market is also very happy because now they have new assets to buy into, right?
Absolutely.
Small cap, mid cap, and yeah. No, there is 20,000 crore of new SIPs also coming in every month, right? Where will you put it? If your 5-year CAGR of your large cap stocks is range bound to sub 10%, how do you generate returns? You need more companies to come into the public domain. So it's all, I somehow feel that. And of course, the retail investor is also happy. They're also like, achha, there is something new to the content creator is also happy. Ki, achha, yaar, I will shit on this company, toh mere liye bahut content chal jayega. Ya, ye main, you know, like, if you see the entire industry.
IPO is like great for everyone.
Correct. So it's almost like it's becoming like a bubble where ki, bhai, sabko list hi karna hai. Okay. Think about it, right? Content is also happy. Influencers are happy. Private capital is happy because they will get exits.
Liquidity
has been a concern for a long time. Public market investors happy. Retail investors are happy. Fundamentally, the question is still ki, now you're right. Would Swiggy have been able to raise $1 billion more needed to fight the quick commerce battle if they were public? I don't know. Would Zepto be able to raise 500 million more at will to fight the quick commerce battle? I don't know. Right? And therefore, I think companies that need and continue to need capital to grow or fight, I think it makes sense for them because after a while, you will start tapping out of the number of people who can keep cutting $100, $200, $300 million checks. See, OpenAI will have to list at some point of time. Because ho gaya yaar, Masa na bhi dal diye paise, matlab 25-30 billion ab bhai, matlab where will you keep getting these capital pools, right? So at some point of time, you'll have to list. I don't know, maybe US is a different market, but if you don't need the capital, now that you are profitable, and if you have to give exit to your investors, which you can, right? Today you could get a PE and tomorrow a sovereign could buy out the PE. You may have 15, 20 years before you decide to list.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think that view is getting, there's any nuanced view today for a company as to what is the right thing for the company to do well for a 15-year period. I think because the incentives are so aligned by everybody in the ecosystem, ki list karo, that is the only advice that comes in. But if you're...
On this FOMO, na, there's also FOMO, na, like if you don't listen, the opportunity goes away. Then you've let like this insane liquidity window just pass you by when you could have.
Yeah, I don't think public market cycles to aate rahenge, na. But you're right. The window could open up maybe 5 years later. But I don't think it's like that. And right now the window is crazy. It's not that you can list tomorrow, na, Shantanu. Even if you want to decide to list, it'll take you 2 years or 3 years from here to list. Tab window kya hoga kisko pata hai. So wo to honestly no one knows. So
Some of the most successful companies in the world are private and very beautiful. Like Carlyle. Cargill. Huge, 100 members plus in the family. Each owns like 0.5%, 0.2%. Fully private. 87% owned by the family. Something crazy. $180 billion in revenue. Like the numbers are fascinating. Huh?
Actually, fascinating. I thought what SpaceX was doing was very interesting, right? That 60% cap table is actually owned by financial investors. And they said, we are making so much profit that we will keep giving you exit. Aapko paisa chahiye, hum profit se buyback kar lenge. ESOP kharidna hai, hum buyback kar lenge. So they gave liquidity to employees, they gave liquidity to early shareholders, and they said, bechna hai, becho. And people entered at 5 billion, 10 billion valuation, have been bought out at 80 billion, 100 billion, 200 billion, abhi 800 billion pe buyback kiya. Like imagine the confidence to do a buyback at $800 billion valuation. Right? So if it's a question of liquidity, a good asset can generate that. So I'm surprised I don't know why they want to list considering they are such heavy, good cash flow. Maybe they want to raise tomorrow or maybe there is some other need. But you could perennially stay private. There is no reason to go public.
Oh, absolutely. If you're generating that kind of cash, then absolutely.
So I think there are businesses that will continue to generate cash that may never need capital again. There is, see, in the end, capital markets were by design to give that comfort. If you need capital, the capital markets were known as the cheapest place to raise capital. Cost of equity was by design, and I think it still is, the lowest in listed capital markets.
Maybe that's why they want like pure compounding heavy moats to be there. Very less risk, because that's the, and by that nature has to be the lowest area to raise equity.
Correct.
Otherwise, people, at least in private markets, are taking far more risk. Especially at the venture stage, not at the later stage.
Yeah. Well, that's why I sort of worry on, the Swiggy QIP is done, but if in 1 year the numbers don't change spectacularly, the public market guys will be very brutal on this. Because see, in the end, for a 2 lakh crore or 3 lakh crore book that HDFC has, right, to some point of time bite the bullet and say that our 600 crore investment in Swiggy, we have taken a haircut and sold at 500 crores and move on in life, is still a good call to take versus just keep sitting in the asset. So I think we've still not seen cycles, right? We've seen cycles where unfortunately a Baiju has gone up to 20 billion and then imploded, and the private markets have seen the ripple effects of these kind of things. Unfortunately, we have not seen massive companies go public and then get to a situation. And by the way, this has happened a lot in old promoter businesses. There are so many small cap, micro cap companies that, you know, run up and retail investors loot shitload of money and the promoters, like, that was a different era. I'm not saying there's anybody intentionally defrauding, but these are still risky businesses that could materially go down in value. At which point of time, suddenly, my bigger worry is in 3 to 4 years, if one or two such cases happen, then the valuation haircuts will be even more extreme if you want to go
public. 100%.
So you will see this, yaar, because at least in some of the IPOs now, what we are seeing is that sabne rumal rakh diya. And people are investing 30, 50 crores. So nobody is a conviction backer. And then as soon as, let's say, a quarter doesn't do well or there is a macro, then all fund managers are thinking, okay, what do I do? Do I sell here or do I double down?
Yeah.
And if the conviction is not there, then the stock tanks. I think what second order also, effect, what Revan is also saying, is yet to play out.
Yeah. I would say India is a country where public markets are youngish, right? And we have a macro event far more frequently than we imagine. And we are, like, think about it from like when we were in the workforce, right? There was a recession, then there was, demonetization, then COVID, then now like this year full of wars and this craziness. So there is a macro event every 4 years. And then hence, we don't, like, that just moves things completely. So this pendulum swings left to right, the over liquidity and super crunch. And then that pendulum moves in a different axis the moment a macro event happens. So, like, frankly, no one really knows. So you should, I think what Revanth was saying is absolutely true. You do what's best for your business at that point in time.
My takeaway was people are not thinking hard enough what is best for the business. There is too much thinking on listing / IPO is the only thing that matters in the life of a startup, which I think is not a very, it may be, but I don't think it's a nuanced enough view. I don't think enough data is available for us to make that conclusion yet.
Yeah. Well, I think you put it rightly. It's important event. It's not the only event. You know, emphasis on only and important.
Oh, for sure. People say it a lot, right? It's a milestone, not a destination. So, and that's also, I think, like I was seeing Scott Galloway. I started following this guy a lot. I just love his pod with Kara Swisher. I think he was talking about.
I can't believe you. They're such extreme, if I can call it, left views.
Really? Scott Galloway is left? No, Kara Swisher does.
Yeah.
Scott Galloway doesn't have left.
I agree. He did not. But with the Kara is so heavy on the left. And like, I just find it a little too worrisome. That
she's a classic media person. Like she's a classic. Like she'll hate the big CEO and need that kind of you need that person in the world. You need that tribe to keep people honest. But if you see what's happening in the US, like what his point was amazing. He was like, boss, dude, look at all these guys from Elon to Jeff to Sundar to Satya to Jensen Huang to Zuckerberg. These are all hundreds of billions of dollars, right? And they're getting on a knee and doing hotel deals. And basically being in the good books of someone they clearly dislike, who's a president, because that's the only way they can maximize shareholder value. They feel like if they don't do this, they will lose shareholder value. Because otherwise, they're all well, kya bolte isko?
They don't need to do it.
Well compassed to.
Yeah.
You don't need to. If you're worth $150 billion, you don't need to do that. But you're still doing it, which means that there is such skewed incentives to maximize shareholder value that it starts becoming, you know, like you're not standing for something you believe in despite being $200 billion rich. How unfortunate is that you're $200 billion rich and you still can't stand your ground for something you believe in? Can you imagine being in that situation?
I don't think that's a very right view, Shantanu. I would argue that, let's say the purpose, because you used Elon, let's say his purpose is that, we should reach Mars. He's saying that it's a means to an end. In my 20-year journey, if one Trump comes, then I have to leverage him. And if this is the way I leverage him, this is the way I leverage him. Doesn't matter what my net worth is. Na? Yeah, you have to play by the rules. Na? Like, he can't
break
the rules.
The point is, it's not about breaking the rules. It's like, okay, so let's make the example a little extreme. If Volkswagen was to build driverless cars in the 60s and 70s, and shaking hands with Hitler at that time seemed to be the means to that end, Would you condone that decision, knowing what Hitler was?
Yes.
So that's where I differ with you. I think the means sometimes don't justify the end. The end doesn't justify the means.
To what Revanth was also saying, ki ek business mission hai, right? And then there is a, let's say, my personal view about how the world should be. That's my personal opinion. One can say that founder of the company.
Then, like if we don't have a moral compass, who are we really then? Then we are slaves to growth in business. Then what are we really building? Business is one of many things.
This is a second order effect of capitalism, Shantanu. If you inherently believe in capitalism, then capitalism says shareholder value is the only thing to solve for. There is no other way to...
But
I know there is something called conscious capitalism, but...
There is a Tata way of doing things and then there is an Ambani way of doing things.
I actually think you made the right point because my example was on the purpose of the... See, because your example was ki the guy is worth $500 billion. Why is he doing this? Because he has a purpose that he wants to fulfill and money cannot solve that problem. But I agree with you on the company shareholder value should have morals and ye. But I don't think there are any morals being broken by... In fact, to give you a counter example... where at least most billionaires were on the wrong side was you know, Elon buying X and then saying that, boss, Google X and all of these billionaires and these large platforms were aligning with the government, because if the government said that you need to stem free speech, they would stem free speech because they had to keep the government happy. Right. But Elon said, no, boss, this is not like free speech is free speech, because constitutionally you can't restrict free speech in the US. Right. So I actually feel
Elon
that
doesn't belong to that. Elon is a little bit of Elon. Actually, I wouldn't put in that bracket of people who is kind of, you know, kind of bootlicking the president. I think he's his
the
own,
rest.
Own
I would agree in some ways or form are driving shareholder value, and shareholder value making them change their or do something which is immoral or unethical is a very thin line that, but I don't think that's anything to do with the fact that they want to be richer. I just think it's expectation.
Yeah, it is that there is now a very clear trade-off you're making. And at that level of autonomy, wealth, legacy, etc., do you want to make that trade-off? Now it's now becoming very real trade-offs. You know, earlier it would be like, it's a small thing. Like maybe
people
agree, cost
I think,
of capital.
I think the bigger problem is caught assuming that people do things for money. So that, see, money comes at 1 billion net worth also, you have enough in life, which is FU money, right? I think post money, people look for respect. And post respect, people look for relevance. The problem with most people who are very rich, after they get respect also with by building these large institutions, it's continuing to be relevant to the world. These guys are all like, what, 40? Like, you have to be relevant for the next 30 years. No, karenge kya? Thodi kya karenge? $150 billion ka Larry and Sergey. They have to continue to, like, Sergey came back and really galvanized Google to compete with ChatGPT now, right? Like, you need to be relevant, right? 20 years later also. Today now it's, by the way, everything is a battle for them of just relevance 30 years later. It's beyond shareholder value. And the only reason he came off vacation was because there was a real threat to the relevance of Google 5 years later. So in some ways or form, now, again, go back to creation and conservation. Managing some of these changes, it's also conservation, right? You don't want to, because ultimately governments are much more powerful than institutions. I don't know if you know, but Alphabet was about to be broken up. Chrome was going to be separated from Android and the ads business. And in some ways, when ChatGPT came in, everyone realized that Google can, they don't have that much dominance. Somebody can come in and disrupt their business, right? In some ways that, because, you know, courts and governments were deciding that nahi kar sakte tum. Yaar, Figma was bought for $20 billion and the competition authority said tum nahi kharid sakte. So boss, governments can really change the course. Capitalism, unfortunately, the reality is there is always this risk of a government just saying, what has happened in China? I don't know if you guys saw this chart. It's a crazy chart. The China stock market returns for the last 15 years is 0%. I'm like, we keep talking China, economy growth.
Dividend kitna diya
unhone? I don't think it's dividend led. It's effectively...
And dividend ke profit karna padega?
What the government has done is effectively capped the profit that you can make. Because governments are much more powerful. Chinese markets have had 17 years of zero capital appreciation. During the same period, China GDP grew by over 300%. This proves the most important rule in investing. Economy is not the stock market. This is like we all keep saying, right? Indian economy is going to go boom, etc., etc. Let's see what happened and what it signals for us in India, right? Investors assume that if a country gets rich, stock market must go up. China proves this is false. China focused on growth at any cost. Companies took their profits and reinvested into massive factories and infrastructure and earned very, basically ROIC and return on equity was very low. Indian companies have high ROE, which is why the stock market is a little like always overvalued. China ROEs are very low. The capital you put in is not giving you enough return on equity. And therefore, by pure formula of DCF, you're not getting enough cash flows for the equity that you're investing. And most state-owned companies have very low ROE, but even in sectors like technology and education, right, there was a regulatory crackdown on very profitable sectors and wiped out trillions in value because ROE was just too low and markets don't like uncertainty. So, because global investors have been burned by China for 17 years, they are now skeptical of cheap valuations. That's why India is at risk. And everyone keeps asking, right, yaar, sab paisa US mein kyun jata hai? Most money still throngs to the US because they like the fact that capitalism trumps everything else. So maybe it's a fair point by Scott, but yeah, there's like trillions of dollars invested in the US and it works only because they're like, bhai, the government
the market is
pro-capitalism. Or capitalism finds a way to work around the government and just make sure that, you know, more money will get paid. And the more, and maybe in some ways, that's why people like India as well. Apart from the fact that, yeah, there is a lot of good demographic dividend on our side and there is growth and stuff. At least they see, as soon as they see government being pro growth slash pro open markets, let's call it open and closed markets, right? China in some ways is designed like a little closed market. They're like, yaar, yahan paisa banega karke. Now, the question what you're inherently asking, Shantanu, is should money be the key driver for most people for growth? But how do you grease the wheels of the economy to, like, there has to be some system, right? Unless you question capitalism itself.
No, not at all. But I do feel like there's a way to do it. I think you can't be khulasa and capitalism. I think that's
what you're talking like, about, conscious capitalism. That businesses should operate between an ethical consciousness, serving a higher purpose beyond profit or creating value for shareholders. It is built on four tenets: higher purpose, stakeholder integration, conscious leadership, and conscious culture. Clearly not a McKinsey chart. Char bola, teen nahi.
I admire the Tatas for doing this the right way. They genuinely reap huge benefits from, you know, kind of ecosystem building. They build cities, yaar. Jamshedpur bana diya unhone.
I think it made sense till it was more driven by maybe the family.
You are right.
Maybe till Ratan Tata was in charge
family,
of...
Yeah.
Because see, Air India was not a shareholder. It's not an acquisition that works for shareholders. It was an airline that didn't deserve to exist. It was too much in losses. It was an emotional purchase, right? Mm-hmm. Getting into the airline industry is an emotional purchase. Trying to make it work still, it's not that Vistara, which is now Air India again, is like inherently making a lot of money, right? But I think it was all driven by maybe the family. Now I worry more. And maybe the last 10 years, I don't think the late Ratan Tata was as much driving those decisions. But I think most of those are now going to be hard. So it makes sense when you're a family-owned, family-controlled, a trust. See, there's a logic to it, right? There's
so there is, what you're saying is, there is this founder mindset and there is this CEO mindset. CEO is maximizing for shareholder value.
Correct.
Founder is emotional aadmi.
Correct.
Wo keh raha yaar, aise hona chahiye, sahi hona chahiye duniya ke liye.
Correct.
A founder side mein ho gaya. Shareholding bhi kam ho gayi hai. CEO is saying, boss. Us case mein, by the way, all the US examples you gave, founder is not out. Mark continues to run the company.
They all super majority shares also, no? They control the company.
Maybe he's not consciously changing the hat.
US mein hard hai, yaar. Because US mein na, it's all a capitalism-driven society. It's a positive-sum game where they believe that hum jo bhi karenge, society aage hi padhegi karke. And wo unki thought process hai. I think, maybe if you think about it, see, we all talk a lot about US because it's the largest economy and stuff, but it is in the end all immigrants with no very clear emotional connect to one thing. China and India are both older civilizations with very strong cultural connects, more purposeful
life
thoughts, more purposeful lives, very, very driven towards the community. History defines a lot of how we feel about ourselves. So, wahan par ye ho sakta hai, and it has happened in some way or form. Very hard. I think Europe also has some of these companies, right? Because it's very old civilization in that sense. You will see a lot of European companies that are 500 years old that just operate the same way. Very purposeful. There's a lot of dogma around how Europe still takes a 4-week holiday in July and stuff like that. But theek hai, aro bol rahe yaar, hamara yahi hai. Matlab, we don't really... I think US is the one that has really outshone in the last 25 years. And maybe that's the core reason, right? Now, all the money that comes in into capitalism is also US origined. So they will keep pushing for this. Ki bhai, aur bada karo, taki money multiply hoga, because that's what keeps driving more and more. And only China has figured out a way to make itself independent from the money supply of the US and is now doing, let's say, a version of conscious capitalism, because the government is saying, I'll cap the profit. You can't make 20% return on equity. 5-7% banega. Isme khush raho. You know, country is more, civilization is more important than profits per se. And they really
push. And more important than individual.
Yeah. The collective is more important than the individual. Yeah. Which is interesting in a very, like, at least our biggest episode till date. And I think will remain the biggest for a long time to come. Where Adi covered that everybody gets surprised. But China is more capitalist than any other country. On that note, wrap up kare. Ashish, any thoughts? Any final thoughts on us? What the last 1 year has been? Generally, pooch raha hu. Matlab, you've been a silent observer for 60 episodes.
I come here to learn, to be very honest. I take notes and take snippets and send it to it. That's it. That's the only motivation. Like, there's that exact reason why I've not gotten any team member World Empress, right? I think.
One episode Mox did on your Unwell or something. That's it. That's only one that he was there. Otherwise, Ashish has been there every episode, wall to wall. Start to finish, ending the episode till launch. Launch ke baad analysis, back to next episode. Ashish just wanted to kind of incredible. I know that we are not a big account for Yoso. Yoso is now becoming very big and, you know, has many clients, and you guys are getting into like a lot of podcasts and branding and all that stuff. But I think for a founder to spend time week on week, while three of us are struggling to kind of think about time, I think the fact that you've done it, and with, you know, there are some episodes where you also prepared the content, made the documents, you know, did the brand identity for Asymmetric, gave feedback. It's been just amazing to see, like, to see your personal involvement and contributions.
Yeah, main to aaj, in fact, in today's episode only, I was in between getting lost. And lost with the thought ki, yaar, this is my weekly meditation. And now, what will I do? You know, right from, I know this calendar scheduling is a mess these days, but I used to, like, in the same camp, I used to learn from the same camp as Ashish ki, I used to learn a lot in terms of what is happening in the world. Yaar, ye normal D2C e-commerce toh is like our day-to-day. Right, it was chalta hi rehta hai, but learning a lot more different things, aspects about it, is definitely, yeah, I'm going to miss.
Ah, yeah.
And thank you, Ashish. You know, it's not easy to handle us. So thank you for bearing us. And I said this on behalf of Revant also.
Man, I'm going to miss this, yeah.
Yeah, but why are we? We're going to do this separately, na? I mean, boss, jab time milega to waisa thodi hum baat nahi karne karke. Like, we'll not do the.
Nahi, ye metronomic ho gaya na ye, pata? This.
Ye
I
kya
don't know whether you guys know.
Iska meaning kya hai?
It's metronome is used by musicians to keep a beat.
Like, lay.
So metronomic means something that happens. So, by the way, one of the biggest stabilizers and creators of mental health and mental peace is routine. It's not novelty, it's routine. The fact that you wake up at a particular time, go to the gym, go to work, meet a certain set of colleagues, eat certain kind of comfort food, you know, meet a certain set of people. That routine day after day actually drives, and this had become routine. When the moment something becomes routine, then you can't live without it.
Yeah.
For example, if you have a lot of fun with someone at a party, right? That is, if that is not routine, it is a one-off thing. But Asymmetric had become routine for me. And that's why I'll miss it a lot more.
बात ही नहीं हुई, मतलब ऐसे लग रहा है अंदर माल भरा हुआ है, बना
नहीं रहा बाहर.
I think if you just make it a, see, I'll tell you the problem, right? The problem is the fact that we don't want to be slaves to the algo ki yaar Friday live jana hai to Thursday, Wednesday, to Tuesday, ye, like, that's just so annoying, right? It's okay to miss a week, but then that, achha, ek hafta miss hoga to fir YouTube algo will penalize, theek hai, screw it yaar, kyun karna hai? But I think what we will end up doing is still catch up, set up a time, and we anyway, I mean, anybody who came on the pod was also a friend, right? You set up a call and say, yeah, we want to, I think that too will continue. It's just sad that obviously people will not be able to see it because we'll not make it live, because there's no, unless there is a massive demand on this saying, nahin, jab bhi aap baat karoge, teen mein ek baar wo live kar dena kare, theek hai, then we will think about it. maybe we can do once a month. Like I just said, somebody who came in today and said that we thought, you pre-record it. I mean, nahi bhai, matlab usi hafte ek ghanta nikalte hain, baat karte hain, and then it goes live. So it's a lot of time commitment and a lot of calendar scheduling that is just running around.
One thing that we could flirt with, RB, is that given that it's not very much about recent affairs, it's not like it's not news which dies out after a couple of days. I don't think our episodes die out, right? I think we could actually have a monthly drop and get together for 2-3 hours once a month, and it could be a Saturday or something. And then Ashish and team also have like a longer period of time to release it. So then we're not against the wall. It doesn't become like burdensome and chory.
Can do. I think once a month, if we have enough time, and anyway, whenever we record, it goes.
Let's take a pause. I think let's come back after a couple of months. Let's reflect. I have a feeling it's my withdrawal to hoga. Mereko to 100% hoga withdrawal.
Baka.
100% withdrawal.
Don't be surprised if Tuesday 4 PM like we do a con call and say, bro, kya chal raha?
Aa jayenge reverse side mein. But I do think that people who are listening should give us ideas on like, we love hanging out. If you find if you think that there is value in listening to this, then should we do it monthly? Should we do it fortnightly? Should we do it once in a while? Should we
fortnightly? Yeah. Option hi bande dost. Fir wahi pressure aa jayega fir. Monthly mein at least we'll have enough time where any conversation we do, Ashish has enough time to figure out when to release na.
Now
fortnightly will again become too much pressure yaar fir.
Hmm.
Like, I still remember one episode, me and Chirag were in Melbourne, aur hum wo ye Christmas topi pehen ke kar rahe. I don't think most of the subscribers today know it was like the third or fourth episode. And I'm like our wives were like, boss, hum Melbourne match dekhne aaye aur tum, humne bola yaar nahi, har hafte jana hai to at least ek ghanta bakar kar lete hain karke. So I mean it,
yeah.
At least that we should not do. Let's figure, I think once a month may still be doable, but I like your point. Anyway, we take a pause and we see. I think maybe I'm sure there'll be feedback on the comment section.
Yes.